Last week, we boiled everything down to one question. One question that a lot of people think is the most important question that's ever been asked. I'm one of those people. One question that the book of Mark, which is something that we're reading together and I'll reference in a minute, one question that the book of Mark constantly pushes us towards, makes us uncomfortable until we confront. Mark keeps showing us what Jesus did and showing us what Jesus said and showing us who Jesus was, and it makes us come face to face with this one question that everything got boiled down to, this question: who is this guy? Who is this guy who can heal, who teaches in this way? Who is this guy? Who is Jesus of Nazareth? Probably the most important question that's ever been asked. This week, we're going to boil everything down into another question. You may have never asked the question, who is Jesus of Nazareth? I hope that last week it has encouraged you, or if you go back and watch it online, will encourage you to ask that question. But maybe you've never really asked that question, but I guarantee you, you've asked this question. Who's that guy? Or who's that gal? Who is that person who seems to have a degree of peace that I want, but that I don't seem to be able to have? Who is she that seems to have a level of confidence that I would like to have but that I can't seem to attain? All of us have looked at somebody in our personal lives, in our professional lives, a friend, somebody in our family, somebody that maybe we've only met once or twice, and we've looked at them and we have said, what makes them different? How are they able to have that kind of fortitude in the valley? How are they able to have that kind of humility on the mountaintop? Who is that person and what makes them tick? But that's not the question that I want to boil today down to. The question that we're going to boil today down to is this question. How do I become that guy? How do I become that gal? How do I become that kind of person? We're going to look at a parable that Jesus told, a simple story. Jesus says, this is one of the most important parables that I'm going to tell, because if you don't get this one, you're not going to get any of the other ones also. And what this parable does is it not only encourages us to become that kind of guy or that kind of gal, but it also paints a picture for us for how we actually do it. So this morning, if that's what you're interested in, how do I become that kind of person? How do I continue to grow towards becoming that kind of person? Then I think this story that we're going to look at this morning will help. Before we get going, let me pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we get to spend together. Thank you for the music we've heard and the music that we've sung. Thank you for the time of prayer. Thank you, hopefully, for a time that we've had to shake a couple of hands and get to know a couple of people. Now, as we turn to look at this story together, I pray that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, will be with us. Lord, bring this time to life. I pray the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that all of these things will be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock. You're our Redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, first things first, I've had a couple of people today already ask me for an update on my son Charlie's soccer team. Okay. And, you know, I just need you to know, I told you last week that I'm moonlighting as the head coach for a four-year-old soccer team. It doesn't define me, it's just part of my life. And, you know, I'm happy to give you updates, but here's the thing. It is not appropriate to keep score in four-year-old soccer games. And it's definitely not appropriate to keep track of the record throughout the season. It's not right. Were it right, I would tell you that we won 10-6 yesterday and we're 3-0, okay? That's what I would tell you. Okay. Now, you know, part of the reason we won yesterday is because we had four kids on the field, because that's the maximum you're allowed to put on there, and the Crocodiles typically only had 1 to 2 players on the field, okay? So that's part of it. But the real deal is, you know, frankly, Coach Craig of the Crocodiles, he got out-coached, okay? That's really what happened yesterday. Now, here's the thing that you need to know about four-year-old soccer that will help us to understand a little bit about this story, okay? Here's what you do. You take a kid, and you put that kid where you want that kid to stand, okay? You're not putting that kid there for arbitrary reasons. You know this is where that kid needs to be. And then you go to the next kid, and you put that kid where you need that kid to stand. And then you go to the next kid, and by that point, this kid is now somewhere else, right? They hear you, but they don't really hear you. You know what I mean? I know that they hear because when we say snacks, they then go, okay? But they hear, but they don't really hear. This is at the heart of what Jesus is going after in this parable. He says, you can hear, but not really hear. In fact, after he says the story, he says this. Those of you who have ears to hear, hear. There's a surface level to the story. I'm going to tell you that part first. Super easy to understand. Anybody can get it. But he says, pay attention, friends. There's also a sub-narrative here that is the real point. And if you have ears to hear not just the surface, but hear underneath. And he says, if you don't get this parable, you're not going to get any of the others either. So if you're following along in this book, we read this on Thursday, okay? If you've got this, you can turn with me to this past Thursday's reading. If you don't have one of these, we have little postcards that look like this that will point you towards an online version of our reading plan. We started 2 weeks ago reading through the book of Mark together. It's the earliest written account that we have of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. I'm going to encourage you to jump in. Even if you haven't been reading so far, you can either catch up. You can catch up in 30 to 40 minutes this afternoon, be ready to go tomorrow morning. You can start tomorrow morning at the beginning, read two a day. You'll be caught up in 2 weeks. Or look, just jump in on tomorrow's reading, and you'll be able to pick up right where we are, and you'll be fine, okay? But I'm going to encourage you to be reading this. So if you've got this, turn with me to Thursday's reading. If you don't have this, that's fine. You can follow along wherever you are, whatever Bible you've got. With the beginning of Mark chapter 4. If you're in the pew Bibles that are in front of you, I'm going to encourage you to grab one of those. If you're in that, the translation's a little bit different, so just bear with me, but it should still make sense. You can also just listen. And of course, when Jesus first spoke this, people would have been listening. Okay, here's what a parable is. A parable is simply something that illustrates a more important point. The Greek is a word that means something like allegory or something like illustration. Literally translated, it means something that you lay beside something else. See, that's pretty beautiful. Jesus has the truth that he's trying to convey, and then he lays beside that truth an illustration or a story to help us to get it. So here is one of the most important illustrations, stories that he laid beside another truth. We're going to start in verse 3. Okay, as you listen, listen to the surface, but have ears to hear. Listen below the surface also. Here's the first word Jesus says, listen. That's a good place to start. A farmer went out to sow his seed. So a farmer went out. I have some seeds here. He went out and he took his seeds and he just threw them out wherever he went. Okay? Surface level, everybody understands what that means. We'll get to the deeper level in a minute, but go ahead and start trying to read between the lines a little bit. Farmer went out and he sowed his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. So some of the seed fell on a path. Of course, we're not talking about a concrete or an asphalt path here, but we are talking about a well-worn path where the grass has been long beaten down. Nothing grows there. It's like decomposed granite, just beaten down. Some seeds fall on that, and you know what happens. Some of them just bounce right off and never have a chance to grow there. Some of them sit on the surface, and before they have time to seep deep down into the path, birds come and eat them. So the seeds that fall on the path, this is what the path ends up looking like. What? Exactly the way that it did before. The seeds land there, but nothing happens at all. Jesus keeps going. The sower's throwing out the seed. The first bit lands on the path. Some fell, verse 5, on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. This seed, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. It grew fast. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. You see plants like this, particularly weeds. They grow up quick in the springtime, but as soon as it gets hot, they wither away. It looks like this. Rocky soil grows up quick and looks impressive. It looks good. But in time, it begins to wither. That's the second kind of seed. Some falls on the path, some falls on the rocks. Here's a third kind, verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Some of it grew up. And again, the plant is impressive. It looks good. But it's competing for the nutrients with some thorns that are growing around it. And the thorns block out the light. And the thorns prevent the plant from producing fruit. This isn't a grain-producing plant. This is a tomato plant. So were it to grow surrounded by one of our rose bushes, it might be able to grow, but the tomatoes would never grow. It looks good, but it's not actually healthy. It doesn't actually do what it's made to do. It's not made to look good with the leaves. It's made to produce tomatoes. But then there's a fourth place that the seed lands. It lands on the path. It lands on the rock. It lands amidst the thorns. Verse 8, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and grew, and it produced crop. It produced fruit, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. There's some that falls on good soil, and this seed grows, and it produces a plant that doesn't just look good, but it produces fruit. This produces tomatoes. The seeds that this sower is sowing produce grain. Four kinds of seed. The sower, where's he throwing seed? Where's he throwing seed? Everywhere. He's throwing seed everywhere. But it doesn't grow equally as well in all of those places. So Jesus wraps up the parable like this. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And then when he was alone with the 12, his 12 disciples, and some others that were around him. They asked him about this parable and others. And he said to them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. I'm going to reveal to you the secrets that are underneath the surface. But to those that are on the outside, everything that's said will it's going to remain a mystery to them. Because I'm saying it in parables, and this is so that they may be ever seeing, they can see, but they don't perceive. They may be ever hearing, but they don't understand. Otherwise, they might turn and they might be forgiven." This is harsh. He's quoting the Old Testament here, and it's harsh. He's saying there are two kinds of people. There are those of you right here that will know the secrets, that will know the truth, and then there are others who they're going to see but not really see, and they're going to hear and they're not really going to hear, and there'll be consequences for that. There are two kinds of people here. And then Jesus said, "Don't you understand this particular parable? How then will you seek to understand any parable? If you don't get this one, you're not going to get the others either." So you see, he's saying there are two kinds of people. People that get it and people that don't get it. And again, I want to be in the right camp. I want to be in the camp of the people that get it, that don't just see the surface level, but that see underneath. How do I make sure that I become that kind of guy? How do I become that kind of gal? How do I become the kind of person that produces that kind of fruit? The kind of person who sees underneath the surface. Well, then Jesus opens this up for them and interprets the parable. Some of you have heard this before. I hope that if you have, you'll hear it in a new way. Some of you have not heard it before, and if you haven't heard it before, this is one of the most important things that Jesus teaches. He said, here's the deal. The seed is the word. Now, that could mean a lot of different things. What it probably means is it's the words that I, Jesus, am speaking to you. And where do I throw the word? I throw it everywhere. I scatter it everywhere that I go. If you were here last week, you remember that Jesus preached in one place. Everybody wanted him to stay there, and he said, no, I've got to go to all the other villages also. And then after he's no longer on the earth, the Holy Spirit sends his disciples out to spread this word all over the world, to the ends of the earth. Jesus throws the seed everywhere. He's not saying, you get some and you get some, but you don't get some and you don't get some and you get some. He's not doing that. He's throwing it all over the place. But he says, look, some lands on hard ground, hard minds and hard hearts, and it never sinks down deep. And very quickly, the devil, forces that don't want you to know the truth of the kingdom, come and they take those things away. Very quickly. This is people who hear the words that Jesus speaks, but they don't make any impact at all because they're not open to hearing them. Have you ever been to that place? You know anybody at that place? Are you at that place? Spent seasons in that place? I hear it, but it doesn't actually make an impact on me. And then the second lands in the rocks. And he says, there are some people who, when they hear this, they get really excited and they grow fast and it looks good and everybody around them is really excited about what's happening in their lives also and things are looking great. But then what happens? Things get hard. They get hard for a lot of different reasons. Maybe they even get hard because their faith is growing. And because they're in rocky soil, though it looks good above the surface, what's happening underneath the surface? There are no roots. And the first storm knocks them down. Have you ever been to that place? Are you at that place? You know people at that place. I went on a mission trip, and I got really excited. I saw the Passion of the Christ, and man, for a day and a half, whew, I saw Soul Surfer, and that really got me, okay? Have you ever been to that place? Get really excited, and then it falls apart. And then really excited, and you come back down. So there's a third one. It falls in the thorns. And this is people who really do allow the words of Jesus to seep deep down into them. And they grow. And it roots themselves into their lives. But what's the issue here? They also love a lot of other things that are competing to be number one in their hearts. Jesus says they have a love for wealth and for prestige and for honor and for all other things that are not in and of themselves bad, but they can be damaging to your faith because they are competing for the affection that you have for the Lord. Those things are not wrong in and of themselves, but they can compete and prevent you from fully thriving and flourishing as a person. He says they look good, but what do they not produce? They don't bear fruit. He says, you got to watch out for that. And then he says, some of them fall in the good soil. Have you ever felt like you were here? I mean, those moments when you just really feel like you're thriving, when things are clicking, when you find yourself being more loving, you find yourself being more patient, you find yourself being more kind. Have you ever found yourself there? If I were to ask you today, which of those four most defines where you are, what would you say? Because here's the thing. All of us spend some time in each of those areas. None of us are fully defined by any of those four places. Is it for you that it just seems to bounce off and it doesn't seep in at all? Is it that it grows, that it ebbs, and then it flows? Is it that you really do love God, but you also really love a lot of other stuff? And you may say this is number one, but your actions don't necessarily show that. Or is it that you really are thriving right now? Which of those is it? You see, Jesus here with this story, and this is why this is the center of all of his stories, and the one that he says you've got to get, it pushes us to reflect. It pushes us to reflect on where we are. But you know what it also does? It also begins to paint a picture about how to end up here. It causes us to reflect on which of these we are, and it begins to paint a picture of how we end up being those people that thrive, those people that bear fruit in our lives and in other people's lives. And it's pushing you to consider, how do I become a guy or a gal like that? Well, let me ask you. Between when Jesus tells the story and when Jesus interprets the story, he says there are people who get it and there are people that don't. And he says, those of you that are in the room with me, y'all are going to get it because I'm going to explain it to you. And those outside this room are not going to get it. There are two kinds of people. Let me ask you this. Do you remember, I read it a minute ago, do you remember how those people got in the room with Jesus? Do you remember how they got there? It's not that Jesus walked around and said, you get a seed, and you get a seed, and you get a seed, but all of y'all don't get seeds. It's not that he walked around and said, you get an invite, and you get an invite, and you get an invite, but you don't get an invite. You know who was in the room with him? His 12 disciples, and then a group of other people that had chosen to be with him. Do you see the distinction between the two groups? Most of the people heard the surface level story, and then what did they do? They went about their business. But a handful of people stayed a little bit longer, and they asked Jesus to take them a little bit deeper. And he did. The distinction is not that Jesus chose some of them and not others. The distinction is that some of them chose to go deeper with Jesus and some of them didn't. And I wonder how often in my life do I hear the surface level story? Do I attend the event or do I do the first 15 just to do it and I don't stay the extra 5 or 10 or 15 minutes? I don't go a little bit deeper in the relationship with somebody who is hoping to hold me accountable. I don't take the extra step. And I get the surface level, but I don't go deeper. You see, when we take that extra time, in our devotional time, or with a friend, when we take the extra time to go out and to serve others, you know what begins to happen? So we spend time with him reflecting on the book of Mark, or time in a small group, or time serving others. He breaks up that hard surface. And he digs down underneath minute by minute, day by day, to pull up that good soil so that the seeds that he's throwing out can begin to take root. He breaks through the hardness of our hearts and the hardness of our minds to plant his words deep down inside of us. And for those of us that get excited, but then we lose that excitement, he takes us and he puts us back on track. For some of us, for the 100th time, and he excites us again. But then day by day, as we allow him to, He fertilizes and he waters those roots. So that not only do we look good, but those roots truly begin to take hold. And he takes those of us, all of us, that have thorns in our lives. And as we spend time with him, not in a place of guilt and not in a place of shame, but in a place of just genuinely saying, Lord, I want to put you first, he begins to pull out of us all of those other things that are competing for the affection of our hearts. And he doesn't necessarily pull away from us those tangible things, the money and the relationships. He doesn't necessarily pull those out of our lives, but what he does is he pulls our obsession with them, our love for them. He pulls those things out of our lives. And then in a way that we may talk about next week, I'm not quite sure yet. He takes those things and he binds them up and he casts them out of our lives so that not only do we look good, but what can we now do? Bear the fruit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the faithfulness, the gentleness, the self-control. And he says, these are the people who are thriving. And it's no mystery why. It's no mystery why that guy or that gal is the way that they are. And it's no mystery how you get there. He says, you know who these people are? They're people who hear me. And they're people who allow the seeds to go deep down within them, who receive them. And they're people who then bear fruit. He says they're people who hear, who receive, and who produce good fruit. That's who these people are. You see, what you see, what I see in those guys and those gals that we so admire, what we see is the fruit. We see the grain. We see the tomatoes. We see the fruit that is coming out of their lives. What we don't see is the work that they have done behind the scenes to cultivate that relationship with God so that those roots go deep, so those thorns are rooted more and more out of their lives. You see the fruit, but we don't see the work that's underneath that. We see the surface, but Jesus knows what's happening underneath it. And he says, friends, you've got to have ears to hear. To see not just the surface, but to hear what's going on underneath also. So I'm going to leave you with this. Jesus throws the seeds out everywhere. And for every person on the planet, Jesus is the farmer who throws out the seeds. But for some people, do you know what else Jesus is? Jesus is also the farmer who cultivates the soil. He's throwing the seeds out to everybody. But for some people, he's also digging up the hard ground and he's rooting out the thorns and he's helping the roots to go deeper. He's not only the one who sows the seeds, he's the one who cultivates our hearts. He's the one who cultivates our minds. He's the one who cultivates our lives. You see, here's the bottom line. Jesus cultivates, but if Jesus is going to cultivate, what do we have to do? We have to cooperate. Jesus wants to cultivate our minds and cultivate our hearts, but we have to cooperate. We have to give him the time to do that. And this is what he says to wrap up that whole section. He said, your faith, it can be as small as a mustard seed, which is the tiniest seed that Jesus knew of. He said, your faith can be that small, but your faith has the potential to produce fruit that you can't even imagine. 30, 60, 100 times larger than how it starts. Inside of this little seed holds the potential to grow into a mighty tree. It's impossible for us to comprehend. If people hadn't seen this, we would never believe this. This little seed can grow into a mighty tree. That's what faith is like, Jesus says. You allow him to till your soil. You allow him to cultivate your mind and your heart, and faith this small can grow into huge things. The faith of Jesus grew into the salvation for the whole world. The faith of my grandfather grew into hundreds of Sunday school classes being taught and thousands of prayers being prayed for his grandchildren that we are still experiencing the benefits of today. The faith of the men and women who have gone before us started small and turned big. Look, you. What could your small step of faith turn into? Jesus says, let me cultivate your hearts and your minds. And the seeds that I am planting within you can bear fruit beyond what you can possibly imagine. The work that you're doing each day of reading the scripture, the work that you're doing of being in an official small group or just having friends that you're talking about faith with, the work that you're doing of serving others, it may just feel like surface level work, but have ears to hear. Those are all things that God is actually using to cultivate you, to prepare you, to prepare you to do big things. Hear that. He wants to bear in your life, for your sake and for the sake of others, fruit that you can't even imagine. And it starts with little things this small. Next week, we're going to continue to look at what God is saying to us through the book of Mark. I'd encourage you to jump in, to do that daily reading, to see how God is using it. And next week, we'll be back in here. Talk a little bit more about it. God, thank you for this time that we've had together. God, thank you that you are a God who is able to take little things and turn them into big things. That you are a God who is not only sowing seeds in our lives, but is cultivating our hearts and our minds to receive them. Lord, help us to hear you. Help us to receive you. And help us to produce fruit through you. Fruit for ourselves and fruit for others. God, we love you. We're grateful for this time that we've had together. And God, I pray that you bless all of us this week, and that you bring us back together safely next week, and that you use us, Lord, to make an impact in this community and in this world. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.